I did a an advance this weekend. I went to Nashville to visit with some friends and do some work with them, and just do some work for myself. And the main piece that came out for me was one of the things that this whole body of work is about, and I've never thought about it this way before, but is the gentling of perception.
Oh, wow, yeah,
That when our
that's
perception is
beautiful.
based on us. Yeah, and just to be, that's what I came out saying to myself. I need to be willing to have my own perception gentled, rather than I can make up a reason why I should, pound somebody in the head or whatever. That was kind of a new piece to me that helps me to anchor it. Am I willing to have my perception gentled?
Wow, that's a gorgeous idea. Man, oh man. Yeah, there's a little phrase in my reading from yesterday morning that said, "Let the guiltless part of me redeem the guilt-filled part." And that's sort of like what you just said.
Fits
Yeah.
perfectly. So I join you in healing all guilt and fear and having only gentle perception, lightly brushed by gold.
Oh, nice. Good work, Michael. Whoa. Yeah, the work never stops. Oh,
You
yeah.
got that.
Okay.
What a gift to realize that it just, it's kind of like that gift that keeps on giving. And each time,
Right.
although it can be a challenge to look at and deal with another level, the sweetness, the process, the interaction that comes from it is just, it just keeps moving in such
Right.
awesome directions. It's amazing. And we're glad that you're here to share this space with us. And, along with that thought that I came up with this weekend, it was actually as I was driving back, I had recorded some notes. And as I was listening to them and driving back, that idea of the gentling of perception came. And to realize that, the only way that we can experience any form of hostility or fear is if we carry it around with us. You can't feel hostility or fear if there aren't thought disorders based in hostility or fear within your physiology. And recognizing that the purpose of the world is to kick us in the limitation, recognizing that life wants us to live, life abhors death. And so the way the whole structure of life is set up is if you are holding something that is killing you, life is going to come kick you there. Life is going to come show you that. And you're going to get to feel it. Now, the big challenge is that if we live in denial, remember our definition of denial, when I think or speak as though something outside of me is the cause of what's going on inside of me, then in order to believe that the cause is outside of me, I have to hide from myself the dynamic that's producing the feeling, the thought disorder, the whole complex of energy. I have to hide it, and we call that hiding process dissociation. I used to call it, if you're around this work in the early days, I used to call it suppression. And then I had very straightforward guidance that no, it's not suppression. It's far, far more destructive than that. It's dissociation. Once you think or speak, oh, look what you made me feel. You made me angry. You made me sad. You made me afraid. You literally dissociate from the content of your own mind. And that's exactly the same thing as if you were on a computer, and let's say you wrote this beautiful poem that you want to publish to the world, you put a password on it, you close the file down, and you forget the password. You will never access that poem again. It is, you're dissociated. It's gone. It's in your computer, but it's not yours because you can't access it. The password for the human mind is exactly the same for 7.5 billion people on the planet. The same password is on everything we've dissociated from. And the password is forgiveness. Now, that doesn't mean letting somebody else off the hook because you've hidden something painful inside of you. Forgiveness is how I access that file that I've hidden from myself. So the only way that I can have hostile or fearful perception, that I can have anything other than gentle perception, is that there is hostility or fear in me. And the thing about those things we've dissociated from is while we have no direct access to that information and therefore cannot change it in that state, it is the most powerful energy that radiates out from us and draws somebody to interact with us, and in many cases, unless somebody's really conscious, determines the quality of their interaction with us. You've heard me call that the psychic megaphone. So when I dissociate from something, I push it down, and I push it down with a lot of energy. When I push it down with a lot of energy, I push it out into my world. And now I've just broadcast a signal, unconsciously, because I'm dissociated from the root of the signal, that somebody should come along and trigger that for me. And somebody's going to show up and trigger that. And when they do, I'll take that very dissociated content that I have no access to, and I will literally build the world that I see out of it. I will see you making me angry. I'll see a whole picture that proves to me that you made me angry or sad or afraid or rageful. You're the one who gave me this hostile, fearful perception. You made me angry. You made me sad. You made me afraid. And I will see that picture. And of course, we love the things that we've created. So those pictures that we see, we believe them. And they are all a lie. Everything your mind tells you based in hostility or fear is a lie. When you start moving in the direction of gentling your perception, when you start moving in the direction of, well, I can explain why and what's wrong with you in my hostile tone, I'm reinforcing dissociated hostility in myself and intensifying the very energy that ultimately, if I never deal with it, will lead to my death. On the other hand, now everybody's got the password. You now know for the rest of eternity what the password is for your dissociated mind. It's forgiveness. That's it. 7.5 billion people, same password for everybody. The question is, will you use it? If you use it, when you enter into first century Aramaic forgiveness, what happens is you collapse that constructed perception that makes it look like somebody else is the cause of your ungentle perception. Are you capable of ungentle perception? Then stop lying to yourself. Stop lying to the people around you. Stop lying to your children, your parents, your spouse, the person you look at them in the mirror. Stop telling them that they're the cause of your ungentle perception. Apply the tool of forgiveness. Apply the password. Now, it's a little more complex than just entering a few digits in a computer keyboard. You have to actually do the forgiveness process. And here's what will happen. As you do that, your surface mind's perceptual construct, you know, the ungentle perception that says, you SOB, look what you've done to me, collapses. The genius of this man 2,000 years ago who told us how to collapse lies in our minds is monumental. But moving in the direction of owning it instead of just raging off or screaming off or doing what your power person did to you that you hated the most, the application of forgiveness is not an easy thing to do at first. Most people do not want to go there, ever. because it means that that which was so painful that you dissociated from it, you now bring forward in your own face. So let's say you use a raging voice on someone that you say you cherish and will be gentle and loving and respectful with forever. When you use that rageful voice on them, stop and ask yourself the question, how did it feel when my power person did that to me? And here's what I guarantee, you hated it when they did it to you. In that unconscious mind, it has fed back to us and tells us, ah, this is how we win. You see, every time our power person did this to us, they got what they wanted. See, they won. Now, they may have destroyed their families, their relationships, and everything around them, but boy, they thought they were really winners. You cannot get away with doing what your power person did to you that you hated the most and maintain decent relationships with anyone. You can't do it. People that I've watched over the years, you know, they say, oh, no, we didn't divorce. We've been married for 50 years. Excuse me. I went back and looked at your videos. You stopped being married 49 years ago. Remember that day you raged and he cried and she screamed and the kids went running? You remember that day? Remember the look on the kid's face? Your marriage was over that day. Oh, you cohabited in the same house. You traded snarky remarks. You shot that power person dynamic at them, and they shot the power person dynamic back at you. But it wasn't a marriage anymore. It was cohabitation. Are you willing to have your perception gentled? Are you willing to get to the point where you couldn't possibly think about saying those words to this person that you cherish so much? That you couldn't possibly think about using that tone of voice toward them? That you couldn't possibly think about putting them down like that ever again? You couldn't possibly think about threatening them? And when you do that, your gentle perception invites them back into relationship with you, and marriages are reestablished, and family connections are reestablished, and holiness, the rule of the day, is what we're designed for. We're not designed for that other garbage. And it takes hellacious courage. It takes monumental courage to stop those power person behaviors in the moment, because you're so sure you've got to have that result. You've got to have that goal fulfilled, and you're willing to do anything to get it. Are you willing to stop and take a breath? Let go of that goal, cancel that goal, and put out words and thoughts and feelings based in love and gentleness instead? That's how you move out of cohabitation and back into true relationship. That's what we're here to support you in doing. It is a monumental work to look at the depth of the pain of those. Perhaps they were only momentary interactions with your power person. And perhaps you don't want to admit that your power person ever did that to you. And perhaps you want to say to yourself, oh, but I've already overcome that. But watch your mouth, watch your behaviors, and tell yourself the truth. And someday, you've got to stop functioning out of those dynamics. Face those dynamics allow those deeply painful moments to surface. You've got to bring those energetic dynamics that are inside of you forward in the space of conscious, active, present love. And when you do, the generational hostility and fear patterns will dissolve in you. You will be freed of them. And through your relationships, you will heal. The gentling of perception is the key. Are my words gentle? Are my words respectful or a put down? Are my words inviting or are they repulsive? Do they demand or do they invite? Do they invite with love, gentleness, and respect? Or do they repel with power person dynamics? And sooner or later, those power person dynamics must be faced and they must be resolved. Because in the moment of the greatest stress, when it's most important to be in that space of gentled perception, the deepest unresolved power person dynamics will come forward and drive your behavior. It's no easy task to go to that level of your own mind, of your own pain, of your own generations, of your own genetics. It's no easy task to revisit those things and to hold a space of active love for them. But that, my friend, is the work that must be done if you're going to change your world and your relationships. And there is one place here on planet Earth that there is always support for you, that we're willing to be in a conversation with you and help to guide you past your hostility and fear-based perception. As Susan said, your own ship. So that you can actually fulfill the will that you have in your most conscious moments. Until you do your work, oh, you'll have moments of the most wonderful visions of grandeur and how great it's going to be. But when the stress is up and the chips are down, that's not what you're going to do. Because what's in you has not yet been resolved. So we're here.
Hi, it's Lisa. So I have two things
young lady.
That I want. Hi. So the first thing is Bob violated one of the goals that I had for him, and I yelled at him. And and I don't usually yell, so this was unusual. And what I caught myself doing, the sliding glass door was open. And I caught myself walking sideways, closing the sliding glass door so nobody could hear me yell at him. It was the most amazing, because my dad used to always do that. He used to always, like, he'd be screaming and he'd realize that the windows were open. And he would go close all the windows so that nobody could hear the abuse that was going on. And I was shocked I wasn't shocked because, you know, but I was. I was like, oh, my God, look at that behavior. It was amazing.
What a great example of a power person. I mean, literally, I mean, right down to the word patterns. People use exactly the same word patterns. I mean, literally exactly the same. And behaviors right down the line, right down to, oh, better go close the doors and the windows. I mean, that's such a powerful example. And my offering is that singular dynamic is what runs the world. You know, when you watch some politician on TV that's screaming and raging and calling people's names, you could walk up to them, the highest or the lowest in the land, and you could say, how did it feel when your power person did that to you? And if they're in a state of receptivity, they will go into great grief and great tears and start to process and heal that dynamic. Unfortunately, the world doesn't know yet that that can be done. And that's why we're committed to making this knowledge available literally to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. So thank you for that example.
Well, and then the next one is, so I was in yoga.
Tell you what, Lisa,
and
Lisa, before you go on to the next one, there's another point for people who are maybe new to the show that I'd like to make based on the example that you've given us. Is that notice that, and you were really clear, Bob violated a goal for you. You know, you can go to all, and I'm talking to the people who haven't done the work for years, perhaps. You can go to all the best stress management workshops in the world. Been to many of them. And here's what I guarantee. Unless it's someone who's tapped into this Aramaic work, you will not find anyone, any stress expert in the world that knows what causes stress. And you will not find anyone, unless they've touched into the Aramaic aspect of this work, who knows how to forgive that. And it's so simple, and it's so important. And you just gave everybody the key. You held a goal for Bob. And notice, everybody, that when everybody around you is fulfilling all the goals that you have for them, notice that you're happy, unless you're just a generally miserable person, you're happy as a clam. Everything is fine. Everybody's fulfilling your goals. But the minute that someone violates a goal that you hold for them, your stress elevates to the point where, if it's a really important goal especially, you will do your power person behavior to them. Oftentimes against your own will and choice. And the core of the forgiveness process is to recognize that the way to alleviate yourself of that stress is to cancel the goal. And when you cancel the goal, what happens is the perception based on the dissociated power person dynamic collapses. And when it collapses in on itself. And when it collapses in on itself, you can capture that little sucker and throw it out and be finished with it. And that's forgiveness.
Yeah.
So that we can anchor that. So thank you for the opportunity to talk about that.
Oh, sure. Well, if I hadn't been so, and I need to do work around mortification, but I was so mortified at my behavior. Oh, my God. That's a whole nother story. But
you must be from Ohio, a whole nother.
Which I still haven't let that one go. I still am working on that one. But so the next incident, I'm not sure if you're familiar with dolphin pose. You're on your forearms and then you walk your toes up towards your elbows and your head is off the mat in yoga class. So I was in a yoga class last Wednesday. And my impression of myself, I'm a yoga teacher. I have all these incredible trainings under my belt. I am educated and everyone compliments me on my form. So I'm in this class with this teacher who doesn't know me. And I'm doing dolphin pose and she walks over and she pushes my head down. And I was mortified. So then I come up and I'm ready to punch her in her face. Can you imagine one yoga teacher punching another yoga teacher in the face? It was just
I can if that yoga teacher's power person had hit them. Yes, I sure can.
So I don't have her again. I'm going to print out the responsibility communication form. Not only am I doing my own work, but B, she was off target. So this is one of the things with the new COVID. You're never supposed to touch a person in your care unless you've asked them. And I wear a full mask in yoga, which should be a signal that you shouldn't be touched. But not only that, because of the sexual abuse angle, And I've dealt with a lot of my stuff, so I'm actually fairly good about that part of it. Mine was just control. I just couldn't believe that she was pushing me. But for somebody who had really unresolved sexual abuse, that pushing of the head could trigger all kinds of stuff. So I'm going to do a responsibility communication with her on Wednesday morning and then do more work around what comes up about that. But, oh, man, I was
pretty triggered.
Sounds
like a good
one.
Yeah. Going to be a lot of fruit in that
because
one for you.
Because I want her also to know the impact, because it's important that she know the impact of she's got a sacred trust as a teacher to handle the experience gently. You know, this is because this is a class. These are usually not as advanced of students. So I believe that we have to teach what we want, which is being love in the world, and that starts in the yoga class as well. So anyway, so I've got lots of stuff, as always.
Well, and I'll offer that before you do that responsibility communication, it might be a lot more conscious if you look at another aspect of that interaction, and that is your desire, your goal to be respected as a teacher. Your goal to be respected as a human being and honored. Mm-hmm. So that might be another aspect of it. And that's probably more, I mean, because she violated that ethic, I don't think you'd want to go punch anybody in the nose over that. The punch in the nose response from not being honored and respected, I would offer. That's probably the more important goal to work with.
Isn't that hilarious, though? I mean, I was just laughing at my, you know, at the non-being mind. I was like, oh, well, aren't you a piece of work? But anyway.
Sweet.
Okay.
Nice example. Thank you.
Yeah, I figured I'd just share.
And Bob, we hold you in our heart. We understand how she, I've been the object of that, so I understand how it can be, Bob.
God, I was awful. Well, anyway, that's a whole nother story.
No.
But
so,
I'm willing
so
to let
I'm
go.
Invite you. Yeah, I'd offer that another good worksheet to do would be your judgment of yourself that you're awful.
Yeah.
And to recognize that what you did is you simply reactively replayed a power person dynamic. And that's what we all do until we get in and resolve those power person dynamics. And for those who haven't been in the conversation about that, that's something that comes out of our codependence to interdependence work. And in that workshop, this will be part of the intensive coming up. In that workshop, we present this idea that a power person is a person in your life. There were three things that create this power person dynamic in a person's mind. It's usually with a child, though not necessarily. It can happen with an 80-year-old adult. Somebody can become their power person. And that is that, one, this person had more control over your life than you did. Two, they were not functioning as a human being. They were not functioning as love. And three, you experienced that circumstance as survival. So remember, whenever you're dealing with a power person dynamic, you're going back to gut level survival. That's why most people never want to go there, because the threat and the pain is just too much for them in their normal state to be able to comprehend or embrace or deal with. But when those three things occur, what happens to the person who's the subject of the power person dynamic is that I hope that noise, there's someone working on a wall outside. I hope it's not coming through. Is the sound okay, Jeannie?
Yeah, it's actually okay.
Yeah,
I mean, I can hear a
lot. Oh, okay. Okay, good, good. So once somebody experiences that power person dynamic, those three things happen, that individual being in survival, it's like their energy field just opens wide and they become a sponge. And they just suck in every energy that's happening, like right down to details, like, oh, you close the windows and the doors before you rage. They're the kind of details. Everything that's going on in the environment, if that power person's raging, then that energy of rage, especially if it's a parent and there's a genetic link, that dynamic of raging is already in the genes of the child, and it just is drawn in and intensifies that rage exponentially. 2 days, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 90 years later, when the stress is up and the chips are down, that exact energy is what will spew out of someone's mouth. Password for cleaning that up is forgiveness. You can talk about it till the cows come home. You can wonder about it. You can lay on the couch and talk to the therapist. There is one solution to eradicating the power person dynamic from one's energy field. And that is, in the moment, when you look at the specific goal that has been violated by this person, you know, here I am, you know, 30 years later, and someone violates a goal, that goal, identifying what that goal is a key way into healing that aspect of the power person dynamic in me. And the canceling of that goal. And I don't cancel that goal because there's something wrong with it. I mean, I don't know what was going on with Bob, and I don't need to, but you shared that situation. Whatever it was that you wanted from Bob, that was a goal that you held for your power person, and it was not fulfilled. And when that happens, and this is another thing to be aware of, when that occurs, when someone in our lives violates a goal we held for our power person, we automatically shift them out of the file, so to speak, in our mind that we've actually built about them, and we lock them into our power person file. And that creates a whole other level of work and understanding to clean that up in the mind. So that's what our codependency, interdependence communication practicum will be about, is that cleanup job. So that's awesome. What great examples. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lisa. Appreciate what you're doing.
No,
and that support group that you started?
Oh, one person came night, and then and the other person called off, and then nobody's interested anymore. It's okay.
So my offering to you would be go back and listen to what Dr. Tim did. He did it anyway. And they were some of the most important that he did. And his support group has now been going on for, I don't know, 14 years, 15 years. Go do it anyway.
Yeah.
Are you breathing?
So, yeah, no.
All right. Well, we hold the space, and if we be of any support, that's why we're here.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Blessings. Take care. Bye-bye.